Hello, Pete.
Hello, Johnny.
This is now the fifth session in our prayer course.
Yes.
And we've talked a lot so far about how we can converse with God, how we can talk to God, but we haven't said much about how God can speak to us. But even as we raise the possibility of God speaking to us, I know that there'd be people who would hear that and think that that's actually a bit weird. Mm. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, some people, it's the most natural thing in the world to sort of hear God, and some that will sound strange. But actually, the Bible says it's the most normal thing in the world. We're designed to walk and talk with God. And actually, it's normal to hear God's voice, and it's abnormal to be spiritually deaf. And so, if you look at someone like Moses, we read in the Bible that he would speak with the Lord face to face as one speaks with a friend. So it's a very natural two-way conversation. And Moses wasn't a wacko. I mean, he was one of the most respected people who ever lived. And Jesus said, man, woman shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. And that means that if we're not listening to what God's saying to us, then we'll kind of starve spiritually. And he also on one occasion said one of the marks of his sheep, one of the marks of real Christians, is that we will recognize his voice. So maybe it's a little bit like we've got this very ornate phone here today. If we'd just met and you called me, you'd probably have to say, hi, it's Johnny Hughes here. And I'd say, oh, hi, Johnny, nice. But after a while, I get to recognize your voice and you can just say, it's me. And I know who it is. And I think we can all get better at recognizing the voice of God.
Well, I've got this friend, though, who it's just like something different's happening with him. He's hearing God in a much clearer way than I do, and he's completely normal. Isn't it true to say that there are just some people who just get this, who are just better at it?
Yeah,
I mean, experts.
Yes, I think there are people who are amazing at hearing the Lord. And, you know, obviously it's a process of years. And we're all on that journey. That's the exciting thing, that as we go on in faith, we will learn to recognize God's voice better. But I think we can all learn that. And I think one of the important things, Johnny, is that we realize God will speak to us the way that we are wired. Some it'll be very mystical. Some it'll be in dreams. Some it'll be very, very practical. And it's okay to hear God the way he's made you, if that makes sense. And I see this in my own kids. You know, they're very different individuals. And I remember when one of them was about 7 and one was about 4, we were praying about a very big family decision. We felt like it was probably time to move, and we were praying about where we should move. And Sammy and I were trying to include the children in the process. Sammy was walking the older one, the 7-year-old, home from school one day, and he turned to her and said, Mum, I'm hearing a voice in my head. So she's like, don't listen to it. It's like, you know, he's cracking up. And then he said, but it's a nice voice. She says, still don't listen to it. And then he said, I think it's God. So she stopped and said, well, what's the voice saying? And he just said, the voice is saying that we're supposed to move to Guildford, which is the part of England where we now live. And so then we went out for a meal, a Chinese meal, which, of course, in China, they just call a meal. And we're out with our kids, and we turned to Danny, who's 4, and said to him, now, Danny, Hudson thinks we're supposed to move to Guildford. You've been praying about this. What do you think? And Danny goes, I think God is saying, if we move to Guildford, can we have a dog? So we said yes. And you know, some of us hear God very practically, and some it is a little bit more supernatural. But we can all learn. And I think for some of us, we're wired a bit like Wi-Fi, and you can continually get a download. Some it's more like a cell phone, and God's got your number, and he calls regularly. And some it's a little more like landmail, if the words from God come less regularly. Actually, one of the favorite passages I have in the Bible about learning to hear God's voice is that nice story about Samuel and his calling. Let's just look at it now. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, the calling of Samuel. It's just, there's so much in here about learning to hear God's voice. Starting to read at verse 1 Samuel 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So that's the first thing I get out of this. There are times when the word of the Lord is rare, and there are times where God is speaking all the time. And that's my experience, actually. Sometimes it is more Wi-Fi, and sometimes it is more land mail, and that's okay. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli said, "Didn't call you. Go back, lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I love the fact that that passage tells us that it's possible to mistake God's voice for normal human beings. I mean, if God had been speaking some big booming voice with angels singing the Alleluia chorus, he probably would have known it wasn't Eli. It sounded like this old priest. Yeah. And so when God speaks to us, it will often seem natural and normal. It may even be through another person. It's weird, Johnny, how weird we get about God when he made everything that's natural and normal, and therefore, by definition, normally when God speaks to us, it will be through natural and normal things. Why should we relegate God to only ever being allowed to speak to us in strange, supernatural, mystical, and peculiar ways? You know, God will speak to us through the lyrics of a song on the radio, through people who might not even know him. One of my friends received his life call through an ad on the back of a truck. You know, it's about being open. And the third thing I get out of that passage, if the first is that sometimes the word of the Lord is more frequent than others, and if the second is that when God speaks it's often natural and normal, is the great encouragement that God didn't give up. He kept speaking. When Samuel got it wrong, he kept... And I just find that encouraging, because I often get it wrong.
Yeah, I find that really reassuring as well, because I think one of the things I'm most afraid of is to miss out on what God might be saying. And I suppose with that comes the question, how can we become people who hear God's voice more clearly and who grow in it?
Yeah. I think there's two thoughts I've got there. The first is that if we want to get better at hearing God, we need to slow down. It's a little bit like a lake. When it becomes still, it can reflect the moon. And the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." And therefore, it's important that we build time for quiet, for reflection, even for retreat into our lives on a daily, you know, weekly, monthly, however we do it, basis. Be still and know. Someone once said, atheism is the religion of the busy. I find that when I say to God, "I need a word and I need it now," he very rarely obliges. He speaks in his own time. The second thing is not just slow down, but soften up. I find that my heart can easily get hard, whether it's through sin or just through busyness or whatever. And that when my heart is soft and my ears are open, I find it easier to hear. Jesus himself would often say, "Have you got ears to hear?" So you can have Jesus standing in front of you and still miss it if your heart isn't soft. And so I think God will often speak into our identity more than into our destiny. We always want God to tell us what to do, where to go, where to be, and he will more often speak into the who, the how, and the why than the where, the when, and the what. Mm. And we see this at Jesus' baptism. It's the beginning of his whole ministry. God speaks, and what does God say? "That's my boy. This is my son. I'm really pleased with him." Mm. Not this is how you're to do your ministry and this is how it's going. Just, I love you. Mm. And often I think that is what God says to us. And one thought on slowing down and softening up is that the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues, will help edify our spirits. So if God's given you that gift, use it.
So what we've said so far is that, you know, everybody can hear God's voice. Some people might be maybe naturally more gifted in that area, yeah. But we can all grow. The question kind of arises in my mind about discernment, because some crazy and terrible things have been done in the name of God in human history. So how can we figure out whether it's really God's voice or not?
It's such an important question. I do think, Johnny, the number one gift that God wants to give to most Christians is common sense. Being a little more practical, I use what I call the ABC principle. A, get advice from wise Christians. B, listen to the Bible. Is this word in line with what the Bible says about the character of Jesus and the purposes of God? And C, listen to your own conscience. Does this sit well with you? And at university, I had a friend who was dating this delightful girl, but frankly, they were totally not suited to each other. All of us could see that the relationship was sort of, you know, doomed, really. They weren't making each other happy. And then one day he heard what he says was an audible voice telling him that he should marry her. And we all thought, no, you know, but he felt, I've got to, it's God, because it was so strange and mysterious. And sadly, and tragically, the marriage really didn't last at all. And I've often thought about that. Well, none of us knew that ABC principle back then. He didn't really listen to advice. He didn't really think about what the Bible would say about, you know, the fruit of a good relationship. And then I don't think he really took time to listen to his own conscience. Does this really sit well? I'm not sure he necessarily even really wanted to marry her. He just felt he had to. So advice, Bible, conscience.
And so how does that play out in your life? How do you hear God speak to you?
Honestly, the most frequent way that God speaks to me is through the Bible. Because it is God's utterly reliable word to us. And I think that, you know, this is something that can have the power to absolutely revolutionize your prayer life. If we learn to actually pray the Bible, not to sort of have reading the Bible here and prayer here, but to bring them together, then look how many words there are in there. You're never going to run out of things to say to God. Sometimes our prayer lives are like talking about the weather, you know, because what else am I going to say to God? But if we can learn to pray this book and listen to God through it, that will be one of the main ways, I think, that we will grow in listening to God as we pray.
Mm. So is it just through the Bible that God speaks?
Well, funny enough, the Bible itself teaches that God speaks outside of the Bible, whether it's through, you know, pictures or through creation or through friends, prophetic words, dreams, preaching, even through the odd donkey, if you remember that story. You know, if I think about one of the times in my life where God intervened most dramatically and spoke to me, it was a combination of different things. It was a sort of process. First of all, it began with me rejecting my Christian faith altogether. So I was, you know, I was way past wanting to listen to God, actually. And I made the depressing discovery that I was even worse at being a non-Christian than at being a Christian, because I was continually talking to God about the fact that he wasn't there and things like that. It's embarrassing. And so I sort of backslid from my atheism into agnosticism. And then at an event, a complete stranger came up to me, and he'd had a vision, a picture for me. I don't know if he knew that I wasn't a Christian anymore, but he said to me, whenever he looked at me, he saw a picture of a candle, and it was burning, and then suddenly the light went out, the whole room was dark, and then gradually the flame came back, and it lit up the whole room. And I knew that was God. I knew that was a great sort of description of where I was at, and I felt like God was probably saying, the fire's going to come back. Mm. But I didn't know how to make it come back. So God has spoken, but What do I do? And then it was a few months later, I was sorting through some Christmas cards, and on the back of one of the cards, there was a Bible verse written out that just, it was like the next bit of God's revelation. And it was from Isaiah 58. It said, "Your light will shine when you spend yourself on behalf of the poor, you satisfy the needs of the oppressed." And the words just winded me. If everyone in the world had said, God hasn't spoken, I'd still really have known that he had. And then I met somebody about 2 or 3 months after that. Well, I told her the story, and it just so happened that she was very good friends with this lady, Jackie Pullinger, in Hong Kong. And she got me Jackie's headed paper, which had the whole of Isaiah 58 written at the top of it, which is amazing. Nuts. I mean, who does a whole chapter of the Bible? And there's no room to write anything. And she said to me, you need to get the next plane to Hong Kong. And I did. And that was where I really encountered God. And so what was that process? The process was, you know, a stranger having a picture for me. It was a Bible verse speaking very powerfully to me. It was meeting a particular person at a particular time. And through all of that, I think God spoke. So listening to God changes our lives. It's how we grow. It's how God feeds us. I think the key is to keep that soft heart and to regularly make space to listen to God.
Mm. Well, let's make some space to do that right now. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Father, I pray that you would give us today our daily bread. Would you teach us to recognize your voice in the people we meet, in the normal parts of our day, and through the Bible, and especially, God, through the discussion that we're about to have in our group. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.
Good stuff, eh? Why don't you just get into threes or something like that, and just the question to chat about is, what struck you from that little bit of teaching? What was the thing that jumped out at you? And just share that together for a few moments. Go. Okay, I'm going to call you back to order, if that's okay. So there were clearly, by your wonderful chatting, there are things in that talk that have grabbed you. For me, it was definitely the slow down, the be still and know that I'm God, and keeping a soft heart and that kind of thing was sort of challenging for me today. Encourage you to hold on to those things that you've talked about and pursue them in the week. But why don't we just now, in the groups that you've just been in, if you just pick one person in your group, and just ask the Lord, all of you, ask the Lord for a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, something like that for the person, so that we're at. Two. Thank you. So if one person in each group, if you're just two and you want to be more than two, then join up with another two, like you guys might like to be four rather than two, whatever. So we're going to ask the Lord just to give words. Maybe a scripture might come to mind, or you might get a picture in your mind, or you might remember something that you've read earlier that comes back to you. And we just ask God to give us words that will encourage that person. Okay, so quickly pick the person in your group, or grab the spot, whichever you like, and then I'll just pray as we do that. Have you picked someone? Okay. Let's pray together, and then we'll listen to God. Jesus, thank you so much that you love to speak to us. Thank you for what Pete was just teaching us. And we want to ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would speak to us now. Lord, would you speak to us in ways that we're familiar with, or even something you'd surprise us, Lord, with a way that you haven't spoken to us before. So, Father, would you reveal your heart, words that would encourage and bless and build up the person that we're praying for. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So just be quiet for literally 1 minute, listen to the Lord, and then speak those things to the person. Be ready. Okay, now, as soon as you feel you have something, just offer that to the person. We're not saying, thus saith the Lord, to anybody. We're offering humbly the things that we may have heard. And let's all test the words that are given to us. Go for it. And do pray for the person that you've been listening for. Pray those encouragements and blessings in. Okay, I'm just going to interrupt you because of the time. But do feel free to carry on sharing together and praying. And if you don't need to rush off, it'd be good to keep doing that. It's just after 12, and so we need to collect children. If you have children, that would be great. And I just say that for the